Okay, in the Stone Chumashim, we are on page 26. Okay, last time we just started getting into the birth of Noach, but we have to elaborate more on the Pesukim. We're going to start Pasuk Chav Ches, like the second paragraph, where it says, Vayichi Lamach. Okay, Mesushalach was this righteous person who lived 969 years. He was the longest guy that ever lived. But he was a very big tzaddik. He gave birth to a son called Lemach. Okay? So it says, Vayichi Lemach shtayim ushmeinim shonim ashana. Lemach was 182 years old. Vayelid ben, he gave birth to a son. Vayikra shmei Noach, and he called his son Noach Lemert, saying, this will comfort us. But the commentator says right away, and again, this we mentioned last week. Why does it say, normally it says, Mr. Shalach, he gave birth to Lamech. Enesh gave birth to Canaan. It doesn't say gave birth to a son and they called him whatever they called him. Here it says, it should have said, Vayelet Noach. That he gave birth to Noach. Okay, so why does it say he gave birth to a son? And then the next pasuk says what the name of the son was. So they say, number one, that he wasn't named right away. Mr. Shalach told them, don't name this kid right away. They saw right away this is going to be a blessing in disguise, and I'll say why in a second. So he said, don't name him right away, because the witchcrafters are going to make terrible things going on. So you call him Menachem. That's what he told him, you call him Menachem. And Mr. Shalach gave him the name Lemach. Okay, now, what's unique about Noach? We're going to continue to see it. Zayin Achameinu, this one will comfort us, bring us rest. Mi ma'aseinu mi etzen yadeinu, from our work and from the toil of our hands. Min ha'adama, from the land, from the ground, asher erid Hashem, that God cursed. Okay, now, what does this mean? This we didn't get into last week yet. What happened over here is like this. When Adam sinned, the earth was cursed. The ground was cursed. Not only was it cursed that it's going to grow weeds and terrible things, we need a lot of work just to make things grow. It says in the Medrash even more, until Adam HaRishon sinned, he had domination over all the animals of the world. The animals were afraid of him. Once Adam HaRishon sinned, the animals were not afraid of him. So even when they worked in the field with a cow, all of a sudden the cow would kick the guy and it was like, it was impossible. There was so much toil and the animals weren't cooperating. Nobody was cooperating. But the Medrash says that the curse of Adam was for the life of the ground was for the duration of Adam's life. Because it says the land would be cursed kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life. So Adam HaRishon was told, and he understood, that after he dies, the curse is over of the ground. The first boy, this we did mention last week, the first kid that was born after Adam HaRishon died was Noach. Lemach, Noach's father, still saw Adam HaRishon. The first one that was born after Adam HaRishon died was Noach. So therefore, when Noach was born, they knew that the curse of the ground was finished. It's not going to be cursed anymore. Right? So that's why they said, this is going to make us rest from Ma'aseinu Mi'atzven Yadeinu, from our work and from the toil of our hands. Okay? Mino Adama, from the land, from the ground that the Hashem cursed. Okay, now, and this is what the Medrash says, that Adam HaRishon had a tradition that is going to last until, another thing Adam HaRishon was told, that according to the Medrash says, tradition has it, that Adam HaRishon's curse will be until one of his descendants will be born circumcised. And therefore, every kid that was born, checked it out if the kid was circumcised. The first one to be circumcised was Noach. Noach was born circumcised. And therefore, the people understand, he says, Adamus was told that the curse would last until one of his descendants were born circumcised. When Lamech saw Noach born that way, he knew that with this child, the curse is rested. That means the curse was over on the ground. In addition to that, Rashi quotes that Noach was the inventor of the plow. Until then, until Noach, for 9-10 generations, people were plowing with their hands. They didn't have a plow. It was a lot of work. The first one that invented a plow was Noach. So that's why the people said, this is Zayin Achameinu, this is, okay? But, therefore, what the Medrash says also, Sefer Yoshe says, that Mesushalach was the one that called him Noach, the grandfather. And Mesushalach told Lamech, don't call him Noach. Call him Menachem. And he says, why? Means comforter, that for the future generations he's going to be comforting. Not that he's going to be in any way whatsoever in that way. Okay. So therefore, it was, that's why he was called Noach. Okay, Vayechi Lamech. Manual labor. Okay, Min Adam Hashem cursed. Okay, not. By the way, the Mefarshim explained. The Radak says, Hashem told all the Medishim people are still going to have to work, but not as much. When Noach came, the workload was much easier in the agricultural world.
What's the big deal about plowing? They could have just took a piece of wood or whatever and start, learning how to plow.
They did, but it's basically a plow is a whole different world. The plow does a lot with one shot. He invented the plow. People didn't know how to do that.
It's not a big deal.
To invent it was a big deal. Not that you have a light and you say, okay, turn on the light. It's not a big deal. But to invent the light bulb is a big deal. Now you have a computer, you turn it on. To invent a computer was a big deal.
Plowing is not a big deal.
Yes, it was. Nobody knew how to do it until then. It's a machine, it's just not electrical, it's a mechanical machine. Okay. Vayichi Lamech achrei helida es Noach. Lamech lived after he gave birth to Noach, 595 shana v'chamesh me'er shana. Okay, another 595 years. Vayei lebanim ubanis, and he gave birth to sons and daughters. Okay? Vayichi kol yimei Lamech, how long did Lamech live? Sheva v'shivim shana. 777 years. Almost 770. But he lived 777 years. Vayomas, and he died. Okay, he gave birth to kids, and then he died.
Why did they change his name from Menachem to
Because the real name was Noach. But Noach would mean that he himself is rest. He himself is holy.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah. So he said, don't give an iron heart, call him first by the name of, Menachem. And then, okay, now the question is like this, before we get into...
That's where the name of Menachem comes from?
Yeah. Now, the question is, why is it that in the early, we're starting now Noach, so it's like a new beginning, because after Noach, people didn't live as long as they did before the flood. The question is, why did people actually live so long before the flood? They lived 900 years, 800 years. I mean, it's all a bunch of, how did they live so long? Okay, so he says like this. First of all, the Rambam answers this, and he says, well, the Rambam was a doctor. Rambam says you shouldn't eat meat. Rambam writes, if you eat meat, you die younger. So they didn't, until the flood, they didn't eat meat. It doesn't apply today, by the way. Before the flood, they did not eat meat. So basically, they had vegetables. I mean, fruits and vegetables. So because of that, Rambam says that's why they live very long. Okay? Other people say like this. Adam Rishon was formed by God. Hashem formed Adam Rishon. Which means, if Adam Rishon didn't sin, he would have lived forever. Even when Adam Rishon lived 930 years, he was never weakened. He was always strong, you know, vibrant, because he was the formation of Hashem. Therefore, all his descendants were strong and powerful like him. And therefore, they lived long. Because they were a bunch of descendants over there, so they had a lot of koyach. Noach brought the, came the flood, changed the whole system of the world, and people were allowed to eat meat, and everything in the world changed. So because everything in the world changed, so therefore they don't, didn't live so long either.
So we should not eat meat then.
No. Now, according to Chassidus and Kabbalah, the reason why they live long is because we know the 7 days of the week, 7 days of creation, we learned this many times, correspond with the seven middays. The first day Hashem was Chesed, Hashem created light. Second day was Gevura, Hashem made the heavens that split. Third day is Tiferes, Hashem made two things. Netzach, victory, power was the sun and the moon, and the fourth day. The 7 days of creation correspond with the seven middays. Therefore, Kabbalah and Chassidus, the Ramban really says in Chumash, that the 7,000 year of the world, also the first 1,000 years is the attribute of Chesed, 2,000 years the attribute of Gevura, 3,000 year the attribute of Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yisoid, Malchus. Shabbos is Malchus. Yud, Mechum, Malchus. 7,000th year, Er is Mashiach, so then it's all bliss. Because the first 1,000 years, this is what Ramban even writes in his commentary in the beginning of Chumash, because the world was to be created with Chesed, the first 1,000 years of the world was revealed the attribute of Chesed, so people live very long. The 2,000 year era of creation is the attribute of Gevura, it brought the flood. 3,000th year era, which is Tiferes, 2448 was Matan Torah, which is in the 3,000th year. 4,000th year was when the two temples stood, like the sun and the moon. So every day of creation corresponds with the 6th day of creation. So because the first day of creation, Hashem created the world with Chesed, and the first 1,000 years of life of the world, Hashem created with Chesed, so people live very long. That's the answer to Chassidus in Kabbalah. Besides, what Rama says, he didn't eat meat, and some people say because he was so strong, and so much different. Okay, next. Vayichi Noach ben chamesh meyeshana. Noach was 500 years old. Vayeled Noach Hashem as Chom as Yafes. Noach gave birth to Shem, Chom and Yafes. Okay? 500 years? Yeah, can you imagine? His first kid was at 500 years. The obvious question, why? The other people were 40, 50, even 100 years old, they had children. Why was Noach 500 years? So the Medrash says, because Noach understood that there's going to be a flood soon. He was told by Hashem there's going to be a flood. So he says like this, if I have children and they are wicked, they'll be killed in the flood. So why should I give birth to them? If I do, and at the end they're righteous, okay, then I'll have to build many arks. He said, if I have a lot of kids, grandkids, I'm going to have to build them too many arks. As it is, one ark took him 120 years to build. He said, I can't do that. So therefore he says like this, what am I going to do? He says, I'm going to delay getting married until much later, which he did. He got married very, very late. And then he says, I'm going to have kids until he's 5 years old. Now, Shem, Chom, and Yefes, according to most opinions, Yefes was the oldest. Okay? Yefes would be the oldest. Then Shem, and then Chom. Some of us, we'll get into soon, some commentaries say, no, Shem was the oldest, Chom and then Yafes. But in Rashi, most opinions say Yefes was the oldest. Why isn't he mentioned first? Because Shem was greater. Avram came from him. Shem was greater, you know. So therefore, Shem is mentioned first. Okay, now, in the olden times, and there's an interesting concept that Mefarshim explained. In the olden times, when people lived long, okay, let me preface it. Heavenly punishment in halacha, not when Beis Din kills you. When God kills a person, it's not under 20. Under 20, Beis Din Shomayla, the heavenly court does not punish anybody. You have to be over 20. 20 then, now, is like 100 by the flood. Because like 5 times the amount. Like we said, everything happened later, right? So therefore, Hashem said like this, Noach should have kids when he's 500. The oldest kid he had was 500. Then the flood was in the 600th year of Noach's life. So his oldest kid, Yefes, wouldn't even be 100 yet. So then God wouldn't punish him in the flood. Right? So that's why Hashem made him wait to have children until he was 500 years old.
And they had the same koach?
Yeah.
So they didn't get like weak?
No. And therefore he didn't take a wife. He said, why should I have children? But Hashem said, take a wife and have children. So then who did he choose? Nama, like we said, the daughter Chanech. But as we mentioned, when we learned that pasuk, many commentators had a problem with it because she was 300 years older than him. Which is a little problem.
So Hashem had been in communication with him from way back, not only when he came, when God...
Noach was, because he was a righteous man before, he was like a Navi in that sense of a Navi at that time. Yeah.
So Chanoch was his father, no? Noach's father?
Lemach.
Lemach was his father.
Yeah.
So Chanoch was his grandfather?
No, Mr. Shelach was his grandfather.
So who was this wife from? Whose daughter was the one, his wife?
His wife was Chanech's daughter, who was much earlier.
Uh-huh.
Lemach was the son of Chanech. Okay, Chanech gave birth to Mesushalach, who gave birth to Lamech, who gave birth to Noach. Right? Yes? Now, Chanech's daughter was Nama, who Noach married according to Rashi, right? That means it was his great-grandfather's
daughter,
I mean his grandfather's sister.
Wow.
He married his great... His great aunt.
A
little bit older than him, huh? Nobody good enough. By the way, another interesting thing about Shem, why he's mentioned first, because Shem was also born circumcised. Noach was born circumcised. And then, in fact, when it says, Tomim Hoyabadarais at the beginning of Noach, he was complete, he was born circumcised. Shem was born circumcised. And, yep. So he's 500 years old at the time.
So when did his generation stop being circumcised before Abraham so that he would have to circumcise himself?
Only unique individuals were circumcised. Like, what's his name? What did we learn before?
Adam, Noah.
Adam, Noach, Shem. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was also born circumcised. David HaMelech was born circumcised. I mean, there were a few tzaddikim that are known that the Medrash says clearly they were born circumcised.
Is anyone born circumcised today?
There are people that are, but even then you still need to do what's called a toughest dam. You still have to have a bloodletting. And there are, you still need a moil to do something there.
They're very special.
It's brought down. They're very special people.
Yeah, my wife's grandfather, his last name was Nahorai.
Yeah, okay. Another uniqueness of Shem was, he was, like it says later on, he was a Kohen. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. by Avraham Avinu, what we just read, Malki Tzedek was really shame. And he was, that was the shame of Nech's son. And he was a Kayan, so he was first. The Gemara says also the reason why Shem is mentioned first, because it goes by their wisdom. Shem was the greatest. And,
did Shem have Tamar as a granddaughter or something? Shem had Tamar as a granddaughter? Tamar?
Yeah. Okay, so Shem was, in fact, Shem was the youngest. Then it goes up to Yefes. So the order of Noach's children were really Yefes, Cham, and Shem. Shem was the baby. The baby. Shem was the youngest of the three. Yefes was the oldest, then Cham, and then Shem. But Shem is mentioned first. Now, he brings down over here that based on later on in Chumash, it says Shem was older and Yefes the youngest.
But literally it says that Noah had these three boys. It doesn't say time lapse between them. Could it be that they're triplets?
No, because it says like this. The Sefer Yosha, which was a medrash about the beginning of creation, says, Nama, Noach's wife, conceived and bore a son, named him Yefes. Conceived again and bore a son, called him Shem. So according to that, it's Yefes, Shem, and then Cham. So there's three opinions, by the way. The order of, the biological order of Noach's kids, some people say Shem, Cham, and Yefes. Some people say Yefes, Cham, and Shem. And some people say Yefes, Shem, and Cham. One of them got it right.
Rabbi, I have a question about when you said a few minutes ago about that Adam would have lived forever.
If he didn't sin.
Does that mean that we would have still needed to have Mashiach come, or would that be like Mashiach?
You know the expression, if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a covered wagon. If Adam and Eve didn't sin, what would be? And what else would be? The world would be bliss, correct? No work pains, no childbearing pain, no raising kids pain, no mother-in-law pain, no nothing, right? Everything would be bliss, correct?
Yep.
But that's not what the plan was. If the Jews didn't make the ego, the Jews would have gotten attached, so Mashiach would have been there. If. But that's not the plan.
I guess my question though is more, is Mashiach necessary when things are not correct to become correct? Or can Mashiach be here even when things, quote unquote, wouldn't have to change? Do you know what I'm saying?
It says in the Gemara that Mashiach will come either when Kula Chayev or Kula Zakai. Which if you take it at face value, it means either the whole world will be guilty or the whole world will be innocent. That's when Mashiach is going to come. That's the simple meaning of the Gemara. So somebody was by the Rebbe once and he asked the Rebbe, maybe everybody will be guilty. It's easier than everybody being good. So maybe if everybody's evil, then Mashiach will come. So the Rebbe said to him, this is what the person said, the Rebbe said to him in Yechidus, that on himself, the Rebbe said, me and Katzenella Beigen, who was the head of the Torah Kartanet throughout that time, are not going to let that happen. That's what the Rebbe said. But the Rebbe explained in the Sikha, what does it mean, if everybody's good or everybody bad? It doesn't make sense. So the Rebbe explains what it means is not that either everybody will be good or everybody will be bad. The Rebbe said what it means is there'll be a clear-cut difference in definition and reality between good and bad. Everybody will realize this is good and everybody will realize it's bad. That's what it means. Kulachayev, kulazaki means there'll be a clear-cut definition and realization of what good is and what bad is.
Is that
Okay? Now, in Mashiach's coming itself, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, there could be two ways. Either merit or not merit. You know, the Mashiach has to come by a certain time anyway. By the year 6000 is the latest Mashiach has to come. Right? There's a pasuk, it's one of the Haftarahs. We say about Mashiach's coming, Be'ita Achishana. In its time, I will hasten him. So the Gemara asks, those two words contradict each other. If it's Be'ita, in his time, then it's not hastening. If it's hastening, it's not in his time. How can the Navi say, Be'ita Achishana, Mashiach will come early in his time? Or in his time earlier? So the Gemara asks the question Sanhedrin. The Gemara answers, Zachu, if the Jews merit, Mashiach will come earlier. The Jews don't merit, he's not going to come until the time. The same thing, it's year 6000. Then there's another similar question. The Gemara says Mashiach is going to be Ani Rechev Alachamor, a poor man riding on a donkey. That's what the Gemara, there's a passage that says, Mashiach will be Ani Rechev Alachamor, a poor man riding a donkey. Another pasuk in Daniel says, Aru imanani shmaya. He's going to come in the clouds of heaven. Now that represents wealth, greatness, holiness, and a donkey, a poor man riding on a donkey doesn't represent such greatness. So again, the Gemara asks, there's a contradiction. So again, the answer is, if the Jews merit, he'll come on the clouds. If the Jews don't merit, he'll come on the donkey. And the Rebbe uses this point to answer another question. The Rebbe himself answered many questions about it. The Rambam writes that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built by Mashiach. Yivne Beis HaMikdash from Kermit. The Rambam says Mashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Yet there's a Medrash and a Rashi in Sukkah that says that the Beis HaMikdash is built in heaven and is just going to come down. So instead of saying there's two opinions, because like what's really going to be, okay? So the Rebbe answers a few answers. One answer is that Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from heaven. But Mashiach will put the finishing touches on the Beis HaMikdash, and then halachically is considered as if he built it. But another sikha the Rebbe explains, that depends. If the Jews merit, the Beis HaMikdash will come down from heaven. They don't merit, we'll have to build it ourselves. So now your question was, to get back to your question, does Mashiach have to come when things are good or bad? Who knows?
Is Mashiach like a higher level even than Adam living forever?
Mashiach is higher than Adam. It says in, you know, the five levels of the neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayichid. I'm saying this from memory, I hope it's right. Nefesh is Eliyahu Navi. Ruach is David HaMelech. Neshama is Moshe Rabbeinu. Chaya is Adam HaRishon. And Yechida is Mashiach. In ascending order, obviously. Eliyahu is Nefesh, David HaMelech is Ruach, Moshe Rabbeinu is Neshama, Adam HaRishon is Chaya, and Mashiach is Yechida. Yeah.
How do times of Mashiach differ from Gan Eden?
Gan Eden now is Neshama without a body.
Or Gan Eden without
Adam. Gan Eden when Adam HaRishon was physical, but it didn't last too long. What happened to that physical Gan Eden? Probably what became spiritual, I don't know. But as far as Mashiach Tchis HaMeisim, it's going to be Neshamas in the bodies. Much different than Gan Eden.
Adam is higher than Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yes. Formation of Hashem's hand.
Yeah, but we always say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest
Navi. Mashiach's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu.
No, but I'm saying Adam.
Adam was Yitzhak of Shalom Kadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Rishon was God himself formed him. You know what that means? As great as Moshe Rabbeinu was, he was still born to a physical father and mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Adam Rishon, Hashem himself made. What could be greater than that? Okay. Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi, and it was, Kiheichel Adam L'Rev Al Pnei Adam. And the Gemara says, in many places, when it says Vayehi, many times it means a sad. Vahaya is Simcha. Vahaya Kisavei Al-Arz, when you come to the land. Vahaya is an expression of Simcha. And the Gemara says, Vayehi is an expression of sadness. What happened over here? Vayehi, Kiheichel, this is the prelude to the flood. Right? This is the preparation for the Mabul, and all the terrible things that will happen. Vayehi, and it was, Kiheichel Adam L'Rev Al Pnei Adama. Okay? Now that we finished mentioning Noach's birth, so now the Torah is telling us, okay, what's happening? Because in Vilbanas Yuldu Lahem, and they gave birth to daughters, okay, even though it normally says sons and daughters, but here we'll soon see why the Torah is using the expression Ubanes Yuldu Lahem. Now, it's interesting. L'Rev, commentators point this out, L'Rev is abundance, a lot. But it also comes in the word L'Rev, to fight. Masu Meriva. Vayehi ki heichel ha'odam. L'Rev doesn't only mean to born to increase, it also means they started fighting. Now people started fighting. Ubanis Yodulahem, and they gave birth to daughters. Okay. We're going to learn a few psukkim, and we have to discuss this. Vayehi, Vayiru Bneho Elokim is Bneisa Adam. The daughters of men are the rulers. Elokim, in later on in Chumash, it says Elokim refers to judges, is Bezdin. Prominent people are called Elokim also, not only God. Bneho Elokim, the rulers, saw Bneisa Adam, the women, the girls, Kitevas Haina, that they were beautiful and good. They took wives from whoever they wanted. Meaning, as Rashi says, married women they just took away. They were rulers. They took away married women. They lived with animals. Whatever. Whatever they wanted, they did.
What is the
giant? Oh, 1 second. Imshat, Bnei Olikim, in the simple meaning, Rashi says, Bnei Hasadim Vashaftim. Simply it means, Rashi says, simple pshat is prominent people. They're in control. They're strong people. So they took from whatever they wanted. They didn't care. Okay? Now, what's going on over here? It says like this. Many commentaries say that why do you mean Bnei Olikim? There were descendants of Shais, and the girls were the daughters of Cain. This is what the some of Farshim learn. Some of Farshim learn Bnei Olikim, God-fearing descendants of Shais. Right, it was Adam's son. And the other one, daughters of men, less spiritual, meaning the daughters of, what's his name? Cain. Okay? Now, other Mefarshim learn, and this is a very interesting thing over here, Bnei Olakim actually refers to angels. Actually refers to angels also. Angels are called Bnei, the Alter Rebbe brings this down in Tanya also. Many times in Paz, Vayavel Bnei Olikim means angels. Angels were called Bnei Olikim. Okay? What happens is like this. Bnei Olikim, listen to this. Bnei Olikim are the angels Uzzah and Aziel, whose abode was in the heavens, but descended to earth to prove themselves. What does this mean? While still in heaven, they heard Hashem say, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the earth. I'm going to wipe out man. So they said to Hashem, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, Anishki says Kerenu, what is man that you are mindful of, the son of man that you think of him, meaning they don't deserve to be created. Why are you doing it? Hashem said to them, these angels, in other words, the angels are saying people are worthless. Look, they sin, they're no good. Hashem said to them, if you lived on earth like these people, beheld the beauty of their women, the evil inclination would enter you and you would cause you to sin. Hashem told these angels, if you would be on earth, you'd also sin worse than the men. They replied, we will descend and we won't sin. Typical. Not like men. Then they descended, as the verse says, the godly beings saw the daughters of men. When they saw them, they asked to return to heaven. And he said, this trial is too great for us. We can't handle it. Take us back. Hashem said, you have already become defiled. You shall never again become pure. So that's Bnei Olakim. Hashem is telling that refers not only people. Yeah? Even angels, Bnei Olakim, the two angels, Uzzah and Aziel, came down from heaven and they became just as bad as the men.
Where are they now?
Now they're dead. They didn't become angels again.
Mm-hmm. Those tall basketball players.
They were doomed together with mankind, but it says like this, these giants with superhuman strength to drive their power from some higher force, like Shimshin got power from, you know, superpower from Hashem, they're called Bnei Olakim, that their strength was conferred on evil, by evil angels. But this is what they did.
They were giants.
They were giants.
But after the flood.
No, before the flood. They were destroyed in the flood. They wanted to go back up to be saved. Hashem said, no, you're down here, you became defiled.
Clinging on to...
No, that was Og. Oh, the giant Og, but not these guys.
They died.
They did the sin, then they were like, take us back.
Even the desire of sin also did it to them.
Oh.
He said, but the Ramban brings down that these Pukim really need to be understood at a much deeper level. When they came down, became people, it's interesting. You find the same thing with the Leo and Navi, by the way. Where the people say that the seven scanned the, that's later, 1 second. Where is that seven people span the entire existence of the world? Oh, this is even before, but the Gemara says in Babasa, there are seven men whose lives span the entire history of the world, of man. Okay, Mr. Shelach saw Adam. Shem saw Mr. Shelach. Yaakov saw Shem. Amram saw Yaakov. Achia Shulaini saw Amram. Eliyah saw Achia Shulaini. And Eliyah didn't die. So these seven people, starting Mr. Shelach, Shem, Yaakov, Amram, Achia Shulaini, Eliyah Navi, and Adam lived the entire span of the 6,000 years of world. A saw B, saw C, and Eliyahu is still alive today. So the seven men that saw the whole world. Anyway, but coming back here.
Abram was born way after.
Huh?
I don't know.
No, but Achi Ashileini, Amram saw Yaakov. Moshe's father, Amram, saw Yaakov Avinu. Uh-huh. So? Achi Ashileini saw Amram.
6,000 years? They saw the 6,000 years?
No, there's a seven people live for the entire 7,000 years. But the last one is Eliyahu Navi, that's still alive. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. That's why I got into this. Eliyahu Navi was... Okay, let's... There's an expression in the Chumash. Who is Pinchas? Mm-hmm. Pinchas Eliyahu. Correct? Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu, right? Everybody knows that. Maimon Chazal. The only problem is, who lived first? Pinchas. Yeah? So you don't say Pinchas is Eliyahu, you should say Eliyahu is Pinchas. Right? Just think about it. If Eliyahu Navi was first, Pinchas was first, so you don't say Pinchas is Eliyahu, you say Eliyahu is Pinchas. So the Rebbe brings this up in the letter, in back of Lukot HaSichas, and there's a bunch of answers that Rebbe says. Number one, he says, there are versions that say Eliyahu to Pinchas. There are versions of the Medrash that say Eliyahu is Pinchas. But the Rebbe says, one answer is very simple. You talk about Pinchas, so you say Pinchas Eliyahu. You speak about Eliyahu, you say Eliyahu is Pinchas. But one of the answers the Rebbe gives is a very interesting thing. That Pinchas Eliyahu, because before, Pinchas is a person, yeah? Aaron HaKohen's grandson. Before Pinchas was Pinchas, he was a malach called Eliyahu. The Rebbe quotes it from Kabbalah, thing for desire. That Eliyahu was first a malach. Then he became Pinchas, the human. Then he became Eliyahu HaNavi, who became a malach. Afterwards, right, when he went up to heaven alive. So that's why we say Pinchas Eliyahu, because really Eliyahu Navi was there before Pinchas was. Because he was first an angel, then he became a person. Just like over here we're learning the angels became people. But it happened already earlier with Eliyahu Navi and Pinchas, but there was all good, not bad. So that was of Kedusha, not of evil.
So Eliyahu also used to be an angel.
Yeah. Okay. Now they saw B'nai Sa'adam and they took everything from whatever they wanted, yeah? Mm-hmm. Married women, everything they wanted.
That's why Hashem...
No.
But before the flood.
But why did God bring the flood? Because of robbery. Yeah, Chomas, is Rashi says Geneva. But this is also Geneva, stealing wives from their husbands mm-hmm. is also stealing. It's also a type of stealing.
Especially pretty
long time. Yeah. They took him even by force. Okay, so Hashem said like this. Vayema Hashem, Hashem said to who? To himself. Okay? Doesn't mean he said to anybody, because there's nobody around to talk to. Or, that's how the Radak learns. The Rabak learns, Hashem told it to Noach. Hashem said to Noach, "La yodein ruchi ba'adam le'elam, I shall not contend evermore concerning man, since he is but flesh. V'hayu yamav me'ev esm shana, that's it, he's going to only live 120 years. Now Yer Chaim says, what does it mean? Hashem didn't even have a debate with the people. Remember, he didn't have a debate with the Nachash, with Adam and Chava. There was no debate. He said, this is what's happening. Right? Okay. Okay, what does it mean? And here's an interesting concept. Hashem says, and this pasuk, and another pasuk, okay, is going to answer a very fundamental question, or it's really later. Okay, we're going to see that later, next time. Okay. Hanefilim hayu ba'aretz, the Nephilim, which are the angels that fell from heaven. Oh, by the way, let me say something. We didn't finish the pasuk again. Shigamu basar, since he is but flesh, meaning he's worthless. V'hayu yom of me'er v'asim shana. Okay, God said he will live 120 years. This is the source where everybody says you should live to 120. It's from this pasuk, but that's not what God said here. What Hashem says, in 120 years, I am destroying the world. Hashem gave them 120 years to do tshuva. So do you people, because it's a nice amount, 120, you should live. V'hayu yomav me'er v'asim shana. You know, you wish somebody to live to 120. With inflation, without inflation, whatever it is. But what Hashem over here is saying, by the way, Rashi says, I'm not going to inflict punishment for 120 years. I'll give them a grace period for them to do tshuva. If they do tshuva, good. And if not, I'm going to destroy them.
I thought it was because of Moshe Rabbeinu's life for 120 years.
No, basically on the pasuk, Yom of Me'er V'asim Shana. That's what everybody called, you know, you should live 120. Now, the question is, this happened, okay, it happened before Noach's kids were born.
Oh, because it needs to be under 100.
Yeah, but later on the pasuk is going to say the flood was in the 600th year of Noach's life, right? The flood happened, the warning of the flood happened 120 years earlier, when Noach was 480, correct? But he only had no kids until 500. That means 20 years before Noach's kids were born, Hashem told Noach, I'm going to destroy the world in 120 years. So question is, but the chronological order of the pasuk is not correct then. Mm-hmm. First it says Noach had kids, and then it says that Hashem said in 120 years you're having a flood. But there's a mukdam mamucha batayit. It's not in chronological order. Okay, another interesting thing, by the way, that we find that even in, not in Chayisar, Lech Lecha, 2 weeks ago, in the Torah, when Hashem said to Avram, Lech Lecha, Mi'artcha, Milat, go out, and the Pasuk says he was 75. That's what the Pasuk says at the beginning. The end of the Parsha, by Shishi, Hashem made the covenant with Avram Avinu called Bris Bein Apsarim. They cut the animal in half and they walked through. Over there, according to the calculations, it's clear that Avram was 70. At the beginning of the Parsha, with the story with Sarah and Pari and all that stuff, yeah? Avram Avinu was 75, it says. And the Bris Bein Apsarim was when Adam Rish was 70. 5 years earlier. So therefore, again, the Gemara, the Medrash, everybody says, a muktam, there's a rule, a muktam u'mu'ukhar b'teira. There's no earlier and later in chronological order in Teira. Teira does not necessarily state happenings in their chronological order, for whatever reason. And here's one of the things, according to many opinions. Other opinions say that that Barbanel says, and Devin Ezra, no, it means average human life will be 120 from now on. Hashem's telling Noach, because I'm going to destroy the world, so they're not going to live anymore 800 years, 900 years. So it doesn't mean the flood will be in 120 years. Because then they keep the pasuk still in chronological order. Noach had kids, and then Hashem said to him, in 120 years I'm going to bring the flood. But he didn't mean 120 years I'm going to bring the flood. Hashem says the life will be 120 years, average life. But he didn't tell him in how long of a time he's bringing the flood. In Pshat of Rashi, Rashi explains the Pshat of the pasuk is basically saying the flood is going to happen in 120 years. I'm going to give him 120 years to do tshuva.
There wasn't even like one person that did tshuva except Noah's family? To like
nobody. If not, they would have been saved.
Oh.
Otherwise, they would have been saved. The fact that they didn't, they weren't saved, shows that they were, yeah, they were not, nobody repented.
Why did Hashem allow them to survive?
To be able to save Avraham Avinu later with Lot's story, you know, when the four kings and the five kings, and Lot was captured, so Og was the one that told them what the story was. So that's why he saved them, it says. Otherwise, he wouldn't have saved them.
I said Hashem was just using Og.
Yeah, he needed him to do something good for Avram. That's it. Just to do something good. That's the only thing he kept him for.
All he was good for?
Huh?
All he was good for doing one person?
Not only that. What's interesting is because in the Medrash it says, in last week's Parsha, Eliezer made the shidduch for Rivka. What happened to Eliezer afterwards? No, you don't hear from him anymore. Yeah? So it says in the Medrash that after he found the shidduch for Yitzchak, Avram freed him, and he became Eig Melech HaBashan. It's a Daskim Balotesis, by the way, in Chumash. After he freed him, he became Eig Melech HaBashan. So Taisus in the Chumash, in the commentary in the Chumash says, 1 minute, Eliezer was a tzaddik, and Eig Melech HaBashan, Moshe ben Hatikili was a wicked guy. So therefore Taisus has an interesting concept. He said all the kings of Bashan were called Eig. Just like all the kings of Pari, of Egypt were called Pari, in Avram's time, in Yitzchok's time, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, later on in history, all the kings of Egypt were called Pari. So he says, all the kings of Bashan were called Eig. So he had good ones, he had bad ones, he had, you know, whatever. But according to one opinion, Eliezer never died. Why? So the Medrash says, I forgot all the details of something with Rivka, that they accused him of having relations with Rivka on the way home. And he said he was innocent, nothing happened. So he told them, does I think if I'm recording correctly, if you're innocent, you will not die.
Avram told him that?
Yeah.
Avram accused him?
Yeah, 1 second. We don't have Daskin Balatesis in this Chumash. Can be.
How many people did he travel with?
He traveled with 10 donkeys. He must have had.
Ten camels,
I mean.
How many people?
These ten as well.
Okay, I don't know why this Chumash doesn't have the, oh, here, 1 second. V'yesh daskim ba'tesis. 1 second. Here it says like this. Because that's Ken Mates, is what I said, yeah. So he asked the question if he was, Oig Melech Bashi was wicked, but Eliezer was a tzaddik, and not only that, he says, the Das Ken Mates says, in Masechet Seifim, it says, one of the nine people that entered alive into Gan Eden. So it says, what happened? When he brought Rivka home, Yitzchok didn't find any virginity in her. He saw she wasn't a virgin. So he suspected that Eliezer had relations with him. Amalei, and he said to him, he said, if you're innocent, Yitzchok said to him, you will go alive to Gan Eden, you will never die. He went alive to Gan Eden. So the question is, I just, are you good, are you bad? So he says, no, there were all the kings of Bashan were called. Some were good, some were bad, and that's it.
So was she a virgin or not?
We'll get there later.
I should have remembered what family she came from.
Huh?
I shouldn't say that, sorry.
No, but there's a whole contest. That's for later. Okay.